Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today. We're delighted to have you on board. It's always a delight to have you listen to the broadcast, but it's even more delightful when we have you to call in and join in the dialogue and the discussion. This broadcast is designed around a question and answer format that we can give the presentation and you can call in and ask questions, join in the dialogue, the discussion. You may even disagree. That's perfectly all right. If you do, I want to know why and on what source do you disagree, but that's all right. We'd love to have you. May I remind you, you can call 401-1413, 904-401-1413. Get your telephone call right through to the studios and right to our microphones so that we can have the discussion, the dialogue on the issues that we'll be discussing. But before we look at the issue of the day, let me remind you, ladies and gentlemen, that as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. May I remind us, the Scripture, the Word of God, is the first, the foremost, and the final authority on whatever we say or do. It's not based on ideological philosophies. It's not based on denominational dogma with the rites and the rituals and the rules and the regulations thereto. It is based on the authority of the Word of God. And I pray that it will challenge you, as I make that statement just about every day, I pray that it will challenge you to study the Word, to know the Word, to allow the Word of God to be hidden in your heart, that you might not sin against God. That's what Scripture says that we ought to do. Scripture says that the Bible is given to us as a light unto our pathway and a lamp unto our feet. We need to use it to illumine our path and direct us as we go into the world. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus told his disciples in John 8:31-32, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And then Jesus said in John 17:17, "Thy word is truth." And so it's not a debate as to what is truth. Ought not to be a debate as to how do we discover truth. Truth is found in the Word of God. And it's not just a book with a little bit of truth. It's the totality of truth. So therefore, ladies and gentlemen, I am encouraging you each day to study the Word, to know the Word, and allow the Word of God to be hidden in your heart. We're going to be talking about a subject today that perhaps you've not considered as an issue. Perhaps you've not thought of it as a problem. But the subject that we're talking about today, the issue that we're covering, governmentally approved child abuse. Government approved child abuse. Now you'd say, wow, how is that possible? The government doesn't approve child abuse. Oh, but yes, it does, ladies and gentlemen. Across America, let me remind you, across America, we have laws on the books in counties and cities and states, state laws and federal laws that deem it illegal to abuse a child. There are even laws that prevent adults from smoking in the home. Now, you don't hear much about that lately, but there are literally laws that says that if you smoke in the home and there are children in the home, that can be considered child abuse because they're breathing what is called secondhand smoke. Now, I don't know whether that's legitimate or not. Don't know whether that's factual based on the latest scientific discoveries, but nevertheless, that's some of the laws that's still on the books. And it's talking about harming children. Some states will punish a Christian parent for spanking a child, calling it child abuse. Ladies and gentlemen, the Scripture is very, very clear in Proverbs that we're to train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he will not have departed from it. And we also know that the Scripture tells us in Proverbs for a parent that if you spank him, it's not going to destroy him. In fact, it is advocated in the scripture that a parent spank the child, admonish the child, not being abusive, but to spank that child so that the child will grow up in the recognition, the realization that mom and dad has the authority under the leadership of God, and therefore we ought to be obedient to what the scripture says. But ladies and gentlemen, some states call that parental abuse. In fact, in Proverbs 22:15, it says, "Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him." That's talking about the need to discipline a child. That is the need to do so. But ladies and gentlemen, we've gotten to the point in our nation today where we're so politically correct that we've gone biblically crazy, in that we are taking that which is admonition from the scripture, and we're trying to twist it and pervert it and tell parents that they can't do that. In fact, there's some that have concluded down through the years that if a child is brought up in a strict home where he's required to go to Sunday school and to worship service and to pray and to study the scripture and memorize scripture, that somehow that's child abuse. And in fact, there's some that are advocating that even today. But I want us to understand, ladies and gentlemen, that we are watching governmentally approved child abuse, and I'm going to tell you how, when, and where in just a moment. But I want us to recognize that across the nation, there's some do-gooders that will call the police if you train your child or if you discipline your child. Just a couple, two or three years ago, an event took place up in Atlanta where a dear parent was in a grocery store. I don't know the name of the grocery store. And the child started screaming and sitting down in the middle of the floor, screaming the head off, wanting this, that, or the other. And mom just picked the child up and spanked the child. Somebody, a do-gooder, that thought that that was wrong, one of these modern parents that think you're supposed to spock a child and not spank a child. I'm talking about Dr. Spock of yesteryear, that you're supposed to, as I used to call it, spock a child and not spank him. But it's required that we spank that child, according to the scripture. But because that parent did that, when that parent got outside putting the groceries in her car, all of a sudden there was two police officers that appeared. She was summarily arrested for child abuse, just for spanking her child, because someone deemed it child abuse. Most parents today are fearful of being biblical parents for fear of some neighbor reporting them for something that would be considered child abuse. Ladies and gentlemen, let me give you the dictionary description of child abuse. What does this dictionary say? Child abuse in the dictionary is described as, quote, physical maltreatment or sexual molestation of a child, end quote. So, ladies and gentlemen, statistics tell us that more than 3 million reports of child abuse take place every year in America. Over 3 million reports. And I didn't say 3 million cases, but 3 million reports of child abuse. So I'm building my case, ladies and gentlemen, to unfurl before our listening ears the dangers of what's happening in America today. And I'll tell you in advance, it's in the educational system that we're destroying our children mentally, emotionally, and educationally with physical, emotional, and educational abuse through our public educational system, with pornography being taught as education. And we'll talk more about that in a moment. But ladies and gentlemen, one article says, and I quote, "It's a terrible epidemic that must be stopped." And it's speaking of child abuse. In fact, professionals in the area of child abuse tell us, and I've got several articles on my desk that talk about that. And this is one that says, "The issue of child abuse." And the article further says, "What is child abuse? Child abuse is when a parent or caregiver, whether through action or failing to act, causes injury, death, emotional harm, or risk of serious harm to a child. There are many forms of child maltreatment, including neglect, physical abuse, sexual abuse, exploitation, and emotional abuse," end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, that is supposedly true, and yet our federal government and our state academic institutions evidently think that they're above the dictionary definition of child abuse. Then the question begs to be asked, ladies and gentlemen, why are we allowing governmental institutions to abuse our children? Keep in mind, the Bible tells us that children are the heritage from the Lord. In fact, in Psalms 127:3, it says, "Children are an heritage from the Lord." Our children are heritage that God's given us. Our children are to be protected, taken care of, overshadowed by the parental authority, and watched over and directed. In fact, it is very, very clear in the scripture that every child is instructed to train our children to love them and to train them to love the Lord, train them to study the Word of God. We're to train them to seek after God and to follow God. And that's the abbreviated form that I just gave you of Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 through 9. It's called the Shema in the Old Testament text. It is the instruction that parents are given to day and night on a constant, continual basis to train our children to love the Lord, to study God's Word, and to obey Him. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, parents are instructed to discipline our children. Our parents are instructed to love our children. Parents are instructed not to exacerbate our children and cause them to be discouraged. In Colossians 3, verses 20 through 21, it's very, very clear that parents are to train our children and to control them, but not to discourage them. But ladies and gentlemen, just how are parents to respond? How should you respond today, ladies and gentlemen? Let's just say you're an adult, that you're a parent. You have a son or daughter or multiple kids in school. Or you're a grandparent and you have grandkids in school. How are you supposed to respond to? How are we as a society supposed to respond to the governmentally controlled schools called the public educational system that's abusing our children every day, 5 days a week in the public school, through the constant streaming of raw pornography and calling it sex education? How are parents to respond to the emotional, the sexual, the physical abuse of our children by the governmentally controlled school system that's now, if you will, brainwashing our children, destroying our children through the LGBTQ and the Planned Parenthood sex educational material? Did you realize, ladies and gentlemen, that the overwhelming majority, if not all, of the sex educational material is written, published, promoted, distributed through the LGBTQ and the Planned Parenthood organizations? And that LGBTQ is lesbian, gay, bisexual, transsexual, and queer. That's what the LGBTQ stands for, if you want to be clear about that. Can you imagine, ladies and gentlemen, your child sitting in a classroom and material is being taught to them, published by the organization that is trying to recruit your child into what they are now calling queerism? What would you do? Could you walk into the classroom and see what they're seeing? No. In fact, I'll prove to you a little later in this broadcast that parents are forbidden to go in and audit what their children are being taught in the public school system under the guise of sex education. Ladies and gentlemen, the material that's being presented in our public school system today that's called sex education just a few years ago would simply have been branded as raw pornography without any equivocation. Our school system, from grade school through high school today, are teaching open, raw porn to our kids under the guise of sex education, or some call it health education. Here's an article that says that parents rally against public school sex ed over pro-choice gay right ideas. Let me just read you a couple of excerpts from this elongated multi-page article. Mom, you won't believe what my teacher's talking about right now. That's the text message Regina Young, a parent in North Carolina Charlotte Mecklenburg schools, said she received from her seventh grade daughter one day. Before I could even respond to her text, Ms. Young said, she told me how uncomfortable she was to hear her teacher tell stories about her, that's the teacher's, transgendered home. Further in this article, it's the latest culture war to be fought on the grounds of America's public school systems, closely following national walkouts against guns and abortion. On Monday, parents picked up two organizations for particular scorn, Planned Parenthood and Human Rights Campaign, the nation's largest abortion provider and America's leading LGBTQ rights advocacy group, respectively, have written sex educational curricula that public and private schools across America have now adopted. This mother said, forcing radical sex education on children is a form of child abuse. And I'm in full agreement with that, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know what we are to do as a citizenry. I don't know what you think that you can do, but I'm going to say this several times during the course of the balance of this broadcast. But if you've got a child in the public educational system, even right here in Duval County, I urge you, I encourage you, I challenge you, parents, listen. Go in and sit and talk with the teacher. Ask to see the material that they're being taught. And by the way, this is not just in high school anymore. It's in grade school through high school. In fact, in many schools across America, it's even in the kindergarten age groups, where kindergartners are taught by showing pictures of their physical body and taught how to touch themselves and to touch others and what the response would be. Ladies and gentlemen, it is dangerous, a dangerous society in which we're living in today. Here's an article that says, forget gender. Now pick up race, age, even species. The transgendered community is enthralled that people should be allowed to choose their own gender, and some jurisdictions have incorporated that idea into law and in our schools. This article says, there is, after all, nothing progressive with children who are ashamed of their own bodies, that they think they must change genders. Something that has risen at an alarming rate in recent years, even in our school system. And it's an elongated article. I'll just read the excerpts of it to make the point that I want us to understand. Ladies and gentlemen, now the schools are teaching students that they can decide on what sex, what gender they would rather be. Did you realize that? Ladies and gentlemen, you're tuned in to Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood speaking. You're listening to a broadcast on the subject today, governmentally approved child abuse. And that's what it is. I say so without any apologies whatsoever. It's the governmental sanctioned, governmentally produced, governmentally authorized, and given in our school system from kindergarten through high school today, where even now the students are being told that mom and dad, your pastor, your religious leader, should not be able to tell you what gender you are. You're, as a child, a child is being told, children, let me just pretend that we're in a classroom. I'm the teacher. Sons and daughters and children in the classroom are being told by the teacher, you should not allow parents or anybody else to tell you what sex you are. You need to make that decision for yourself. You can decide what gender you want to be, rather what gender you prefer to be, and then everyone around you, including the teachers, are to use the right pronoun to address you. You may be a little girl dressed as a boy, but the teachers are to refer to you as a male, as a him, or as a he, and vice versa. Ladies and gentlemen, we're in dangerous waters in our nation when this is promulgating the system in our educational process that destroys the morals, the ethics, and the values of our students. It is no less than child abuse. Physical abuse, emotional abuse, educational abuse is taking place in our public school system classrooms, ladies and gentlemen. Here's an article that says, high school decides on gender-neutral homecoming. A Maryland high school is introducing a gender-neutral homecoming court this year to offer students the opportunity to decide for themselves whether they would prefer to be called king or queen, or in this case, as this article says, king or queer, regardless of their gender. Students from each grade level at the Bethesda Chevy Chase High School will vote on classmates to select the finalists. The change allows the two winners to be, for the first time, two boys, two girls, transgender students, or a boy, or a girl. Now that is, if that's not twisted and mixed up and messed up, ladies and gentlemen, nothing is. Can you imagine your child being in that classroom setting and what that child will be brainwashed into believing and thinking? Ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. I'm giving you on this broadcast today some of the cleaned up stuff. I'm giving you some of the watered down material. I'm giving you some of the surface and the peripheral and not the in-depth of what's being taught in our classrooms. But ladies and gentlemen, back, I believe it was as far back as 1991 when sex education was first introduced to Duval County schools. I insisted on getting a copy of the health educational material and the teacher's curriculum and teaching that. After a few letters and after a few telephone calls and after a few visits, I was able to get two of the guidebooks on health education, as it was called then, which was opening the door for sex education. And ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. In the front material, in the opening material for the teacher's guidebook on health education / teaching children sex education, as it was called, in Duval County Public Schools, in the opening material, and a lot of it was absolutely highly inappropriate sexual material, the teacher's guide, the teacher's instruction book said to the teacher, quote, if any parent questions or complains about the material of what their child's being taught, say to them, this is the teacher's instruction, say to the parent that they are the only ones. No one else has ever complained but them. In other words, ladies and gentlemen, the teachers were taught to lie about the material and to dissuade the parent in causing the parent to believe that somehow, some way, they were prudish, that somehow, some way, the parent was the one that was wrong and not the school and what the school was teaching. Ladies and gentlemen, here's an article that ought to be concerning for every parent that's listening today, ought to be concerning for everyone that's under the sound of my voice. Here's one that says, Drag Queen Story Hour. They're, quote, busting out everywhere from Annapolis to Vancouver and cities every place in between with Drag Queen Story Hours in our public schools. But it's in Houston, Texas, where they have run into their first lawsuit. The purpose of the exhibition is to feature a real drag queen, not in cabarets or in discos, but in library performances for kids as a role model for our children to see and to talk with. Quote, Drag Queen Stories, known as DQSH, is just what it sounds like. Drag queens reading stories of children in libraries and schools and bookstores. The DQSH captures the imagination and play of gender fluidity of children and gives kids glamorous, positive, and unabashedly queer role models. In spaces like kids are able to see people who defy rigid gender restrictions and imagine a world where people can present as they wish, where dress-up is real. Ladies and gentlemen, if that's not twisted, nothing is. If that's not perverted, nothing is. And that's happening in our public school systems across America. I believe we got a caller on the line. Go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Yeah, good morning. The irony is, if only one complains, you're the only one that complains. That's what they're taught to say. But yet, on the other hand, usually it's them complaining, and it's only one or two of them and hundreds of others. So when they're in the minority, they want to be heard.
Absolutely. In fact, it is disingenuous for any school system, for any educational system, for any public school, as I call them, governmentally controlled schools, to have the control over our sons and daughters for 8 hours a day and to brainwash them and to emotionally abuse them and to sexually abuse them, maybe not physically as we would call it, but emotionally and educationally abusing them. And parents are supposed to be silent. I say, as Dr. Dobson said back in March of this year, he admonished every Christian parent, quote, pull your children, your students, out of the public school system. Teach them at home if you can do nothing else, Dr. Dobson said. And I'm in full agreement with that. And I'm in agreement with what you're saying, sir, as you call. You're absolutely on target. The mindset is that the parents are the only one, but if it's an educational system, then they're supposed to be right when it may be just one of them complaining or saying something about what they would like to do. Thank you so much for your call. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about governmentally approved child abuse in our public schools. If it sounds as if I'm alarmed by it, I am. If it sounds as if we ought to do something about it, it's because we reached the crescendo where there's something that must be done on a national level, and you start on a national level by starting with our local school board and examining what's being taught behind the closed doors with the sons and daughters. Why do you think we have so sexualized our students today, our children, that they're willing to watch that garbage on their cell telephones and their handheld devices and to be able to make photographs of themselves and others in all forms of nudity and pass it on to others because they've been taught in the public school system that that is norm, that is okay, it is all right to do so. Here's an article that says the feds are probing the gender fluid boys' restroom assault on a girl 5 years old. The Office of Civil Rights in the Department of Education is investigating the cases of a 5-year-old girl who was sexually assaulted by a gender fluid classmate boy in a restroom in a Georgia public school. The case is direct is a direct result of the Obama administration's guidelines to schools that redefine Title IX requirements, forcing schools to accommodate gender identity, gender fluidity, and facilities such as restrooms and showers. This article further says, this situation was both deeply tragic and avoidable, said the legal counsel for Alliance Defending Freedom, which is defending the assault victim. Schools have a duty to protect the privacy and the safety of all students, and Decatur County schools in Georgia clearly failed this young girl. According to the document submitted to the case, Superintendent David Dude announced to the staff, quote, a policy that requires all Decatur schools to admit boys who identify as females in girls' restrooms, locker rooms, shower rooms, and on all school premises based solely on the stated preference of the individual student. Ladies and gentlemen, it's bad enough to be teaching our students raw porn in the classroom, but then to open the doors so that it allows any sexually dysphoric person to go into whatever bathroom they want to, and in this case, where a male student went into the bathroom and sexually molested a 5-year-old girl. And it's because the school policy allowed that to be done. And may I say, ladies and gentlemen, very, very clearly, very simplistically, and very directly, this is practiced in the Duval County schools today. If you don't believe it, check with your school board. Check with the school board superintendent. Look at the material and their references and relationship to locker rooms, shower rooms, bathrooms. Nothing is said. It's been quiet in Duval County, but it's an open bathroom, open shower room, open dressing room policy for Duval County schools, and it puts your sons and your daughters, our grandkids, in jeopardy in the school system in which we're living in today. Ladies and gentlemen, here's an article that says school district changes its restroom policy that ignores the sexual assault. When you send your daughter to school, this is an article that's writing, this writer says, when you send your daughter to school, when you see her off in the morning, you have a level of expectation that you're going to not to have to be worried about them, that they're going to be exposed to anything that would be difficult or that the parents would not be aware of. But the school district in Decatur, this is on the helm of what I've just read to you, the consequences were exactly opposite, and it came about what the parents feared most. In fact, the mother happened to be on the superintendent of schools' Facebook page when she saw an interesting post. The superintendent of schools of the city schools of Decatur, Georgia, would authorize students who identified as the opposite sex to use the restrooms, bathrooms, locker rooms that assigned with their claimed sexual identity and gender preference. Ladies and gentlemen, that's happening across the nation today. And this is an article, further article, that says Planned Parenthood instructor has a mother arrested for trying to audit a pornographic sex ed classroom. Yes, Planned Parenthood is willing to go to the extreme lengths to get parents from knowing what kind of sex education they offer their kids. St. Mary's County Library in Maryland contracted a Planned Parenthood certified instructor to put on a pornographic sex workshop for teens, and no parents were allowed. But when Mother Karen Crank tried to enter the classroom, she was summarily arrested for trespassing. Ladies and gentlemen, that's what we get as parents. And yet taxpayers' money is paying for this garbage to be taught in our classrooms across America. Here's an article that's too pornographic for me to read all of it to us. But this is for sex education in a classroom. It says gay masturbation, oral sex, part of the pornographic sex educational system. And it goes on to talk about explicit homosexuality is being presented to our schools, our students, and the agenda is to normalize homosexuality for our students, regardless of their religious background or their orientation at home. Ladies and gentlemen, I say to you, pull your child out of the public school system. The governmentally controlled system is destroying our sons and our daughters, their morals, and they're changing them into immoral individuals. Ladies and gentlemen, keep on praying, keep on looking up, for our redemption draweth nigh. Looking forward to meeting you on the air even tomorrow as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.